The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yoma has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Ayin Zayin. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin Vav Amud Bet, and we are going to begin five lines from the bottom. The Gemara now goes back to the subject that we discussed regarding Daniel. The Gemara brought a proof from the Pesukim in Daniel that from the fact that he refrained from Sicha, from anointing himself, and from bathing, from Rechitza, and the Pasuk calls that an Inui, so therefore we know that these things are forbidden on Yom Kippurim. Now, the reason why Daniel abstained from these items was because Koresh, Cyrus, who was the king, he had made a gezerah to stop the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, of Bayit Sheni. And therefore, Daniel started to afflict himself because he was in pain that the Beit HaMikdash was not going to be continued to be built. After he afflicted himself, the angel Gabriel came to Daniel and told him that God has seen his affliction and God is going to answer him. And now the Gemara is going to discuss that conversation that the angel Gabriel had with Daniel. So the Pasuk says, Va'ani bati bidvarecha, which literally means, and I have come because of your words. Now the Gemara is going to analyze, it seemed that Gabriel was for some reason excommunicated from the heavenly court. And on account of Daniel, he was let back in. He was let back into the heavenly court to be next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara is going to analyze today, why was Gabriel excommunicated and how did Daniel get him back? So the Gemara begins, Mai va'ani bati bedvarecha. What did Gabriel mean when he said to Daniel that I have come because of your words? Which means he entered the heavenly court on account of him, like Rashi says, five lines from the bottom, Va'ani bati bidbarecha, sefa dahu krad le'el, al tira Daniel. It's the end of the pasuk that we learned on yesterday's daf, where Gabriel tells Daniel, don't worry, don't be scared, Va'ani bati bidbarecha, nechnasti letocha pargod bishvilecha, which means now I'm able to enter the heavenly court on account of you. So the next verse, she says, "My va'ani bati, matay nigrash mitocho shehutzlach likanes." When was he excommunicated or kicked out that he needed permission to come back? So the Gemara says, "Hainu dechtiv." This is a reference to what's written in the book of Yehezkel. Now, in this prophecy, it's by Yehezkel the Navi, who was living in Bavel at the time. And this was at the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. He had a vision that he was being pulled by his hair to Yerushalayim, and he saw a vision of the 70 Zekenim in the Kodesh area, in the Hechal of the Beit HaMikdash, and they were worshipping idols, they were committing Avonot. Obviously a remez from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Yehezkel, that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed on account of the Avodah Zarah of the people. So the Gemara now is going to discuss that vision that Yechezkel had. The Ketiv, it says, V'shev'im ish mezikne bet Yisrael, and there were 70 elders from Israel, V'yazanyahu ben Shafan omed betocham, and Yazanyahu ben Shafan was standing amongst them, omdim lifnehem, and they were standing before them. That's a reference to the Avodah Zarah. The Zekenim were standing in front of the idols. The Ish Miktarto Biyado, the Atar Anan HaKetoret Ole, which each man had Miktarto, which we'll say was like a staff in his hand, and there was a thick cloud of Ketoret that was rising, which means they were worshipping Ketoret to the idols. Uchtiv, and it's written further, Vayishlach Tavnit Yad Vayikaheni Besisit Roshi. That means a stretched out form of a hand. Tavnit Yad is a form of a hand was stretched out, and it took me by the Sisit Roshi, call it the locks, let's say, of his head. Like we explained, they pulled him by the hair. This is Yechezkel talking. Vatisa Oti. And they carried me, Ruhi, a wind carried me, Ben Ha'aretz u'Ben Hashamayim, which means he was flying between the earth and the heaven, Vatave Oti Yerushalayima, and they brought me to Yerushalayim, Bimbarot Elohim, to have this divine vision. El Petach Sha'ar HaPinimit, they brought me to the entrance of the inner gate of the Bet HaMikdash, Haponeh Safona, that was facing north, Asher Sham Moshab Semel HaKin'ah HaMakneh, where there was a seat over there, which was a certain image. Now, this was the image reference to the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol. Vayaveh Otir Chasar Bet Hashem HaPinimit. So then they brought, Yechezkel is saying, they brought me into the inner courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. And what did he see? V'hine petach Echal Hashem. And behold, I was in front of the Echal Hashem, ben ha'olam ben ha'mizbeach, between the ulam, the antechamber, and the mizbeach, ki 20 v'hamisha ish. I saw some 25 men, achorehem el Echal Hashem, their back was to the Echal, let's say their back was to the Kodesh Kodashim, ufnehem kedma, and their face, they were facing east. Vehema mishtachavim, and they were actually bowing, kedma lashamesh, they were bowing eastwardly to the sun. Again, all this Yechezkel is visioning while he's in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara questions this pasuk. Mimash ma'ashen e'emar ufnehem kedma. If the pasuk tells me that they were facing east, any yodeya she'achoreim elechal Hashem, don't we know that automatically if you're facing east, that means their backs were to the Hechal, because we know the Hechal was in the west. So what does the pasuk have to say that their face was in the east and their back was to the west? It's automatically that their back was to the Hechal Hashem. The Gemara says, elamatamudomar achoreim elechal Hashem. What does it mean when it says their backs were facing the Hechal? Melamed shayu pur'in atzman. It says in this vision he saw that they were actually bearing themselves, which means they were unclothed, undressed, vayu matrizin kelape mata, and they were defecating towards kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kelape mala. That's when we say let's, maybe in a positive sense. But over here they refer and they say kelape mata, which means to the one below, which means they were committing a great avon over here of defiling the great Shekhinah in the Beit HaMikdash. So Borei Olam obviously got angry when he saw this image of the Zekinim and the 25 men with the way they were dressed or undressed in front of the Echal. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMichael. So Borei Olam called the angel Michael, who was considered one of the ministering angels for Yisrael. And he says to him, Michael sarcha umatecha. Michael, your nation has sinned. Amar lefanav. So Michael says, Ribono shel Olam, dayo letovim shebahem. It's enough you should save them on account of the tzaddikim. Save them on account of the good people. You're right, there's bad people, but in the zechut of the good people, they should be spared. Amar lo, ani soref otam v'latovim shebahem. Bnei Olam says, I'm going to burn the people as well as the good ones. And the Mefarshim explain, because the good ones had the ability to rebuke, and they did not rebuke, so therefore they're guilty as well. Miyad, the pasuk continues, immediately what happened, vayomer el ha'ish levush abadim, vayomer. So Bnei Olam comes to the man, literally, that was clothed in linen. Now, who's that man that's clothed in linen? So the Taptashi says, who Gabriel? The book of Daniel, it always refers to Gabriel as the man that was wearing linen. So God tells the Malach Gabriel, bo el benot lagalgal, come to the area called Galgal el tachat lakeruv, which was under or beneath the keruv. Now, Galgal and keruv are references to different type of angels. Now again, a lot of these references of angels are discussed in Yehezkel's vision called Ma'aseh Mirkaba, which usually is beyond human comprehension to understand what's going on over there, but here we're explaining it on a simple level just to understand what Borei Olam was telling the Malach Gabriel now. So he says, go in front of these two angels, El Tachat LaKeruv and Galgal, Umale Chofnecha Gahale Esh Mibbenot LaKerubim, fill your hands with coals from the kirubim. It seems there was coals over there. Fill your hands with coals. Uzrok al-a'ir. And throw them upon the city. What the reference is, Borei Olam was saying, take these fiery coals, throw them towards Yerushalayim, which represents the destruction of Yerushalayim. Vayavo le'renai. So it says, and Gabriel came before my eyes. This is Yehezkel saying he saw this. Miyad. Immediately, Vayishlach HaKeruv et Yado Mibbenot LaKeruvim. The Keruv, which means the angel called Keruv, stretched out his hands from between the Keruvim, El Ha'esh Asher Benot LaKeruvim, to the fire that was between the Keruvim, Vayisa Vayiten El Chofne Levush Abadim. So the angel lifted the coals with his hands and deposited the coals into the hands of Gabriel. Vayikach Vayeseh. And he took the fiery coals, and he went out, and he threw them upon the city. Now, Gabriel did not follow exact instructions which Borei Olam commanded him. God told Gabriel that he should take the coals himself. But instead, Gabriel, he let the angels pick up the coals, and from their hands, pour it into his hands. And the Mefarshim explained why Gabriel did that. Because he was concerned that if the coals are going to be taken directly from his hands, so to speak, they're going to be so hot that when he throws it on Yerushalayim, it's going to be a total devastation and destruction where the Jewish people will not be able to recover. But by allowing the angels to pick up the coals first and empty it into his hands, it's like a cliché. It's already cooled down a little, so Gabriel figured it won't be a total destruction. In any event, the Gemara continues to explain these pesukim. Amar Abchana bar Bizna Amar Bishimon Chasida El Male Lo Nitztaninu Gehali Miyado Shel Keruv Liyado Shel Gabriel. Had the coals not cooled off when the coals were transferred from the hands of the angel to the hands of Gabriel, Lo Nishtayiru Mison Angel Yisrael Saridu Palit, there wouldn't have been a remnant of Klal Yisrael left over. Uchtiv, now we continue. Vehideh ha'ish labush abadim, which is the man that was wearing the linen, which is Gabriel, asher ha'keset v'motnav, which literally means the way they explain, the slate was around his waist, meshiv davar demot. He came back to Borei Olam and answered, asiti ka'asher svitani. So he tells God, he executed, he fulfilled his mission. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, peotasha'a, at that moment, they sent Gabriel away from the curtain, which means they removed him from away from the Shekhinah. And they gave him lashes, 60 lashes of fire. And the Mefarshim explained why 60 lashes. Because normally a person is not hayav punishment until he's 13 years old. And at 13 years old, he becomes a gadol, we give him 3 times 13 lashes, which would be 39 lashes, which is 39 malkut. However, the malachim, they're not held punishable until the age of 20. So therefore, they punish him also 20 times 3, which would be 60. In any event, what is he getting punished for? So the Gemara says, Amru leh, ilo avad, lo avad. Listen, had you done nothing at all, then nothing would have happened to you. Because we could justify you not doing anything. Meaning, why did you pick up the coals and throw them towards Jerusalem? Had you done nothing and not listened, we could have justified it and said you were just doing it because you figured God would change his mind and have mercy on Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it could be accepted. As she says on the second line, Ilo avad klal, if you didn't do it at all, lo avad. Ve'ayinu matzdikinu tka, we could have justified you, lomar, dohehu et adavad, you're delaying, ulai yashuv ha-kadosh baruch hu meharono, v'yitraselem, that maybe God will be appeased. However, i'avad, but now that you did it, amai lo avad, kedef ha-keduch, now that you did it, how come you didn't do it like you were commanded? That she says, shetehe ata notel ha-gehalim, bebenot le-kerubim, ve'ata amarta el ha-keruv, letitam necha. Instead of taking him directly, you took it from the hands of the angels. So you didn't follow what you were supposed to do. Ve'od, and furthermore, da'avad, now that you did it, letlach en meshivina lekalkala, don't you hold of the opinion that says you don't report back with bad news? Which is when you came back to God and said, asiti kasher dibarta, you don't go back and report that you did bad news. So now we see that Gabriel was punished because of his actions. Aituha ledubiel. So God brought another sar, a type of ministering angel, called Dubiel, Sara de Parsae. He was actually the angel in charge of the Persians. And that's the reason why they call him Dubiel, because the Gemara Berachot says the Persians are compared to a bear, and in Hebrew a bear is a dove. So therefore they call this angel Dubiel, the Ukmua Baharike. And he stood in the place of Gabriel. He took Gabriel's place. V'shimesh v'esrim v'ehad yom. And this Persian administering angel served for 21 days. And the Maharsha says these 21 days are keneged, the 21 days between Shavah Asar v'Tammuz and Tishah B'Av, which means it was a bad thing that we have now a ministering angel in the heavens taking the place of Gabriel. Hainu d'chtiv. Like the Pasuk says, Vesar Malchut Paras Omer, the Nigdi Esrim Ve'had Yom, says, and the angel of Paras stood in front of me for 21 days. Now this is what Gabriel is telling Daniel, that the angel was standing in my place for 21 days. Ve'ine Michael Achad Asarim Rishonim Ba'al Ozreni. Now Michael came to help me. This is Gabriel talking, that Gabriel now came to help him to get his position back. He said, I had to remain there alone beside the king of Persia. Yehavu le'esrim ve'chad malche u'parvata de'mashig. Now that Dubiel, the angel of Paras, was inside now by the court, so now he had power. So they gave Dubiel 21 kingdoms, and they gave him also mashig. That she says, Mashig is Devar Malchut Bilshon Parsi, a certain royal place. Lefi Shu Maalesham Margaliot. It seems that it's a port that there are pearls in that place, which means Persia became very strong as a result of this episode. They conquered 21 kingdoms, and also they got the port of Mashig. Amar Kitibuli Li Israel. And at that time, Dubiel said, write for me that what? That all the Jewish people should pay taxes. Akarga is a tax. Let them pay taxes. And she says, Kesef Gulgalta. It's a head tax. Which means he's telling Gabriel, right now, a Gezerah, that all the Jewish people have to pay me a head tax. Ketavule. So they wrote it for him. Then he says, Ketivuli Rabbanan Be'akarga. I also want the rabbis amongst the Jewish people to have to pay the head tax to the Persians. Ketavule. So they wrote that as well. When they wanted to sign the decree, Amad Gabriel Machoreh Pargod Ve'amad. Gabriel was standing behind the curtain. He now was trying to stop the Gezerah that we shouldn't have to pay all these taxes to the Persians. So he said, Shav lachem mashkimekum. It's in vain, all you people, it's a waste that you're waking up early. Me'achare shevet ochle lechem ha'atzavim. Me'achare shevet, to those who stay up late, me'achare shevet, who sit up late, and they eat the bread of sorrow, ken yiten lidido shena. He will also give lidido shena. So the Gemara wants to understand, my ken yiten lidido shena. What's the reference to this pasuk over here? Amar Rav Yitzchak. Elu neshotehem shel talmidei hachamim. There's a reference to the wives of the talmidei hachamim. Sheminadrot shena ba'olam mazeh. They lose sleep in this world because they're waiting for their husbands to come home from the yeshiva. They come home very late, so the wives wait up for them. Vezochot le'olam haba, which means ken yiten ledido o ledido shena. To those ladies that deprive themselves of sleep, shena sleep, so they're going to get great reward, which is Gabriel was coming to say that how could the nations of the world be fit to rule over the Talmidei Chachamim? Even the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim are very worthy because of their sacrifice. And now Persia is going to be able to charge a tax to the Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gemara says, "Velo eshkichu alav," but the angel did not pay any attention to Gabriel. So Amar lefanav, so Gabriel said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, im yiyu kol chachmei umot ha'olam bekaf mozaim. If all the Hakamim of Israel would be on one side of the scale, veDaniel ish hamudot bekaf sheniyah, and Daniel was the greatly loved one, would be on the second side of the scale. Lo nimsam achriyat kulam. Wouldn't Daniel ish hamudot, wouldn't he outweigh them all? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi hu ze shemelamed zechut al banai? Who is this person? Who is this angel that's being an advocate for my children? Because Gabriel was trying to defend Bnei Israel and the zechut of Daniel. Amru lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Gabriel. It's indeed Gabriel the Malach. Amar lehem, at that point, God told the angels, Yavo, let him enter. Shene'emar ba'ani bati bidbarecha. And that's what Gabriel meant to Daniel when he says, Ani bati, I entered God's chamber, so to speak, bidbarecha, with because of your words, meaning by mentioning your name, I now entered the area. Amar lehu ni'ul. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Gabriel, enter. I do. So they brought him in. Atam, he came in, Ashkeche ledubi'el, denakat le'igarte biyadeh. So he saw that the Gabriel was, Dubi'el was holding this star, this document that had on it the gezerah that they're going to charge the Talmidei Chachamim these taxes. So Gabriel tried to take it away from him, to take it away from his hand. Bena'a. So what did Dubi'el do? He quickly swallowed it. Some say, Mikhtav ava ketiva mikhtam ava chatma. Some say the gezerah was just written, but it wasn't sealed yet and signed. Some say it was signed as well. But when he swallowed it, the signature was erased. Hainu, and that's why the Malchuta de Paras we find in the Persian kingdom, Ika de Yaiv Karga, there are certain Talmidei Chachamim that still pay the head tax. Vika de lo Yaiv Karga, and some do not pay the head tax. But the point is that the Gezerah is still around in Paras. The Gemara says where Talmidei Chachamim have to pay tax, where normally in kingdoms the Talmidei Chachamim are exempt from the tax, but in Persia some pay and some don't pay, because the Gezerah was written, but it wasn't signed. In any event, after this episode, it says that when Gabriel was allowed to re-enter the court, he says, "Va'ani yotze." He says, and now I returned to fight against the ministering angel of Paraz, Dine Saryavanba. After he finished with Paraz, the Greek angel came, and Gabriel says, Ave, Ave, which is like, whoa, whoa, which means we're going to have a hard time fighting over the Greeks that are going to rule over Bnei Israel. Veleka de'ashkachbe, but nobody paid attention to him. Okay, let's just catch up now. So now we see over here where Gabriel was excommunicated, and he came back on account of mentioning Daniel. Now let's just read the Rashi's over here. That she will read Shav Lachem on that pasuk. Shav Lachem Ashkim Mikum Kelomad. Klum Agunim Aomot Yot Achamim Mesurim Biadam. Is it worthy that the Jewish people should be under the subjugation of the Goyim? V'alo Amikram Mishabechan She'af Neshotehem Nadrot Shena Me'enem. The pasuk praises the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim that they deprive themselves from sleep. Shav lachem ba'ale umanut. So the pasuk means that Shav lachem mashkim mekum. It's a waste of time, all you craftsmen that wake up early to make parnasa. Hamashkimim u'macharim lemelachtam ochle lechem ba'etzev, and you eat your bread with the stress v'yigia. Ken yiten azan et ha'olam mezrot parnasa lididu. God can give the same parnasa to those tamidei hakamim upanasa lididu shena lemi shenadar shena b'shvilo, which means all that hard work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the same parnasa to the tamidei hakamim and gives them great reward because of their devotion. Bati b'dvarecha, Rashi says, al shedibarti b'cha, right, the Gavriel says, because I mentioned your name, I came in front of Borei Olam, ashkechelet dubiel davan akit egra, ואני יוצא, והנה שר יוון באו, כשהגיע הזמן מלכות יוון לבוא, אצא על כורחי שכבר נגזרה גזרה, ושר יוון יבוא במקומי. אבי צעק, וסבח גבריאל על זאת. Because he saw the damage that יוון will have on כלל ישראל. It should be pointed out over here, that the מסילת ישרים in פרק י"ח, sees from over here the importance of being a melitz yosher for Klal Yisrael, which means even at a time where Borei Olam was angry at Klal Yisrael, like at the time of the destruction, and Gavriel protected us from the ministering angel of Paraz, Borei Olam said, who is this one that's speaking good about my children? So the Mesilat Yesharim says, whoever loves Bnei Yisrael, Borei Olam loves them. The importance of always being a advocate for Klal Yisrael. And now comes the Gemara, goes back to the subject of Yom Kippurim. So we learned on yesterday's daf that washing, rechitza, is considered one of the afflictions. So now the Gemara is going to bring an alternate source. How do you know that rechitza, bathing, washing, is considered an inui? So Gemara says, V'ibayetema, I could bring you another answer. Rechitza, dekli inui minalan. How do I know that abstaining from washing is considered an inui? Me'acha, from here, dichtiv. This pasuk was written, but when Shlomo HaMelech became the king, and now he was settling a lot of his father's, David's, business. Eviatar was the Kohen Gadol at the time of David, sided with Adoniah. Adoniah was the son of David that rebelled against him. And therefore Eviatar really was rebellious to the king because he joined the ranks of Adoniah. Now Shlomo HaMelech is going to settle the account with Eviatar. So he says, well, Eviatar, Kohen Amar HaMelech, at Eviatar the Kohen, the king said, Anatot lech al sadecha. Go to Anatot, to your fields. Ki ish mavet ata, because you're deserving of death. Ubayom hazeh lo amitecha. But Shlomo said, I'm not going to kill you today. Why? I'm going to spare you this day. Ki nasat et aron Hashem Elohim lefnei David Abi. Because you carried the aron in front of my father. And furthermore, v'chi et anita b'chol asher et anna avi. And you also were afflicted in all that my father was afflicted. Which means when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, he endured certain affliction. Eviatar was with him. And Eviatar also suffered those same afflictions. So clearly we see that whatever David did when he was running away from Avshalom and abstained himself from was considered an inui. Uchtiv b'David, and it says by David, Ki amiru aram, the nation said, Ra'ev ve'ayef ve'sameh b'midbar. That time the people that were, David and his men that were running away from Avshalom, they entered the city called Mahanaim. And David was greeted over there by supporters. And they took care of the people. They brought food and drinks and other needs. Because the people that came with David, it says there were three things, Ra'ev, Ayef, and Sameh. So the Gemara now explains, Ra'ev, when it says the people of David were hungry, melechem, huh? Means they were from bread, they didn't eat bread. V'sameh mimayim. Sameh means they were thirsty, which means they didn't have water. Ayef, what does it mean, ayef? Mimayim, what were they weary from? Lav mirechitza, must be from rechitza, from washing. And we know that all the things that David went through are called an inui, because when Shlomo HaMelech told Eviatar, he says, you suffered, you were afflicted with all the afflictions of my father. I mean, you were with him at that time. So we see that what? One of the afflictions was rechitza. So the Gemara says, who told you? Who told you that the word ayef means that they were tired because they did not bathe? V'dilma min ayirat sandal. Maybe it's a reference that what? They weren't wearing shoes. Maybe that's what the word ayef means. Ela Amar Rav Yitzchak Me'acha. So therefore, he's okay, we bring a different proof. We have a pasuk that says, Mayim Karim Al Nefesh Ayefa. We have a pasuk that says, like cold water on a weary soul. This is a pasuk in Mishle. So you see, cold water on a weary soul, it's called ayef. So you see the word ayef is a reference to bathing. So therefore, by David HaMelech, when it says that his men were ayef, it means the chitza. So the Gemara, who told you, v'dilma mishtiya, maybe when it says mayim karim al nefesh ayefa, cold water on a weary soul, maybe it's referring to drinking. So the Gemara says, mikiti benefesh ayefa, does it say cold water in a weary soul? The water you drink goes in you. Al nefesh ayefa kitiv. It says on a weary soul, which is implying that it's an external item. And therefore the cold water is outside, that's referring to bathing. So we prove that what? The word ayef that was written by David is a reference to rechitza. Now the Gemara continues. And how do you know that taking not wearing shoes is considered an affliction? Again, when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, it says he was going up Mount of Olives. Ole uboche. He was going up crying, virosh lo chafui, and his head was covered, let's say, vehu holech yachef, and he was going bare. Literally, yachef means bare. So now the Gemara explains, yachef mimai, what was he bare from? Lav minailat sandal. It must mean that he was going barefoot. And that's why, and it says over there by David that these items that he went through were considered afflictions. So you see, going barefoot is considered an affliction. No, maybe when it says he was going bare, he was going bare from his horse and whip. Meaning David normally traveled by a horse and a whip. Now he was bare from that. So maybe Yachef means he didn't have his horse with him. So he says, you're right. We can learn that the word Yachef means barefoot from the pasuk over here that's written in Yeshaya. Pasuk says, Lech upitachta sak me'al motnecha. Go, take the sackcloth off your loins, v'na'alcha tachlots me'al raglecha, and take your shoes off your legs. This over here is a prophecy that Borei Olam gave to Yeshaya to take off his clothing to demonstrate how the captives of Egypt and Cush will be naked and barefoot from the king of Ashur. There was symbolism over here. Uchtiv, it says by the pasuk, what did he do? Vayaskin halok aron v'yachef. So it says, Yeshaya was bare, he went naked, aron v'yachef. Yachef mimai, what does yachef mean? Lab min ailat asadal. Must be, like the pasuk originally said, that he had to take off his shoes. So the word yachef means taking off your shoes. So therefore by David, when it says yachef, it also means taking off his shoes. And therefore we know it's an inui, because it says inui by David. Maybe Yachef means that he should wear patched shoes. I mean, don't wear normal shoes. Don't wear shoes that are all patched up. Because you're not going to say this. Aram mamash. When it says that Yeshaya was to walk naked, you think it meant actually naked without any clothes? Ela means what? Ela mevigadim beluim, meaning wear clothes that are all worn out, tattered clothes. Hachin ame here too. The minhalayim mitulaim. Here too it means just with patched shoes. So again, how do you know that Yachef means without shoes at all? Learn it from the following pasuk in Yirmiyah. Min'i raglech miyachef ugronech mitzim'ah. Which literally means, withhold your foot from barefootedness, don't be Yachef, and your throat from thirst. So the Gemara explains, what does this pasuk mean? Min'i atzmech menachet. Withhold yourself from sin. So you won't get punished and you have to be sent into exile and your feet are going to be without shoes. Which is the one, you're going to be taken into exile. So therefore, don't commit sins. So therefore, your feet will not have to be barefoot and sent into exile. Withhold your tongue from idle words. So your throat will not come to thirst. Which means you're going to be punished because of that. And therefore, you see the word Yachef over here means no shoes. So therefore, we can say that by David also, when it said Yachef, it's a reference to no shoes. And by David it says, Inui. Now we move on to the next one of the Inuim. Teshmisha mitad ikri Inui minalan. How do you know that the Tashmish HaMitah, which is cohabitation. How do we know that's called an affliction? Dichtiv. When Levan told Yaakov Abinu, Im ta'aneh et benotai, v'im tikach nashim, which means when Levan sent Yaakov away, so he made him make a shivuatim. Im ta'aneh et benotai, if you will afflict my daughters, v'im tikach nashim, or you will take additional wives on my daughters. So the Gemara explains, Im ta'aneh, how will you afflict them? If you afflict them mit tashmish, which means you will abstain from having tashmish with them. So you see, abstination of tashmish is called an inui. Vim tikach, what's the second condition that Laban made? Mitzarot, meaning you will not take rival wives, meaning you will not take additional wives on my daughters. As she says on top, im ta'aneh mit tashmish, lehashvit onatam, you're going to abstain from them. Vim tikach mitzarot ishbi'o, Kimashmoy made him swear, Shelo Yosif Lem Sarot, that you won't take any additional wives. So the Gemara says, who told you to learn like that? Meaning the way you're learning now, that means that Tashmish is indeed called an Ainui. I should say abstination of Tashmish is called an Ainui. Gemara says, Ve'ema Idi V'idi Mitzarot. Maybe both parts of that swear that Laban made are referring to not taking rival wives. And we could learn the Pasuk as if it's all saying one thing, which is im ta'aneh et benotai, if you're going to afflict my wives, how? By taking additional rival wives. Maybe it's all one thing. So the Gemara says, miketiv im tikach, does it say im tikach, as if it was all one thing? Ve'im tikach ketiv, the vav is mashma, it's a different item. Im ta'aneh et benotai is one item, and ve'im tikach is the second item. So therefore, the first item must be Imtaneh Benotai, referring to abstinence of Tashmish. The Imtikar is a new item that you're going to take rival wives. Lavan made him swear he's not going to take any more wives. The Ema Idi V'Idi Mitzarot. He goes, oh, maybe it's both a reference to not taking rival wives, but it's different points. Had Litzarot Dideh, the first thing he was telling him, Imtaneh Benotai, don't afflict my wives by elevating your rival wives now, meaning Bilhan Zilpa, do not elevate them to regular wife status. That would be an inui. V'had litzarot datyan l'maram. And the second was, intikah, do not take other rival wives from the outside world. So the Gemara says, dumya divi'i imtikah, which means this understanding is logical because you're explaining im ta'aneh and im yikach on the same concept. It's both talking about taking additional wives. So the first concept is what? Don't elevate the wives that you have already, bilhan zilpa, to wife status, because that would be an affliction to my daughters. And don't take any rival wives from the world. Gemara says, miketiv im tikach v'im ta'aneh. If that was the case, it should say the worst scenario first, which means it should say im tikach, meaning it's much worse to take a wife me'alma, from outside. And secondly, the wives that you have don't elevate. It's a bigger torture for the wives of Yaakov to take a new wife. To elevate the wives that are there is also an affliction, but it's not as big because they're there already. So normally when a person makes a condition, he speaks of the more serious scenario. I don't want you taking a wife from somewhere else. And even the wives that you have do not elevate. So if that was the interpretation of the Pasuk should have said, Miketiv im tikach v'im ta'aneh, it should have said the second part of the condition first. However, what does it say? Im ta'aneh v'im tikach ketiv. It says first im ta'aneh and then im tikach. And therefore must be like we explained, im ta'aneh means from tashmish, and which means do not abstain tashmish from them because that would be an affliction, and do not take rival wives. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amale Rabba Labaye Rabba Zabaye Ha Tashmish Gufa Ikli Inui." So what are you talking? You're saying abstinence of Tashmish is called an Inui? We see from different pesukim that Tashmish itself is called an Inui. Dichti Vayishkav Ota Vayaneha. When Shechem ben Hamor slept with Dinah, which means he had Tashmish with her, the Pasuk says, Vayaneha, it was actually an affliction. So you see Tashmish itself, not abstinence, Tashmish itself is an Inui. Amale, Hatam She'inam Mibiot Acherot, which means, yes, he had Tashmish with Dinah, but then it says that Dinah wanted more Tashmish, and therefore Vayaneha, he tortured her by abstaining with further acts of Tashmish. So therefore, when it says Inui over there by Dina, it's also considered a Inui of abstinence, because Shechem held back. He did not provide with her with more. That she says, Mibiot Acherot, Shaita mitavelo. She then desired him, Velo ba'aleha be'onata b'yamim sha'am da'istan. He did not go with her at the time that he was with her. Now, Rashi brings an alternate interpretation. Someone explained that she says that when it says inui over there, it means that he had bi'ah, but shelo kedarka, not in the normal fashion. And that type of bi'ah, not in the normal fashion, is indeed called an inui. But Rashi asks on this, v'kashli im ken ema im ta'anet benotai nami achi, ashbe'ah shelo ya'ane otam bi'ot acherot. But if you can explain that inui means bi'ah shelo kedarka, you can explain by Yaakov Aminu that when Laban told him im ta'ane, he was just saying, do not have bi'ah shelo kedarka. So therefore Rashi rejects that interpretation, and therefore explains that when it says by dinat, it was an inui, it wasn't a tashmish that was an inui, it was that he refrained from having more tashmish, whether it was caused our affliction. Tanu Rabbanan, we continue, the Gemara says, Asur lirchos miksat gufo kechol gufo. That on Kippur, not only is it asur to wash one's entire body, but it's asur to wash even part of one's body. The imayam miluchlach betitu psabar of his body, let's say, was soiled with mud or excrement, you can wash normally, you have nothing to worry about. Which means, the only type of washing that the Hachamim were osir on Yom Kippur is pleasurable washing, leta'anug. However, if you're washing yourself to get rid of the dirt, that's not considered part of the restriction. Furthermore, it's asur to anoint part of the body, as well as asur to anoint the entire body. But if he was sick, or shayulo hatatin berosho, he had scabs on his head where he needs to put this anointment, sach kedarko, he can anoint himself in the way he normally does, ve'eno choshesh, and he does not have to be concerned. Now, so you see over here, there's a difference between the chitzah and sicha. Re'chitzah, so long as it's not for ta'anug, it's permissible. Sicha is not permissible if it's for ta'anug, and even if it's not for pleasure, it's not permissible. The only time sikha is permissible if it's for medicinal reasons, which means only if the guy has scabs on his head. Now, it should be pointed out that normally on Shabbat, we do not allow to take medicine because we have a gezerah that what may be going to come to grind. And over here, they're allowing to make sikha. So the Mefarshim explained, you have to say we're talking about oil or anointment that's normally put during the week by healthy people. And therefore, we don't make a gezerah on those items that healthy people anoint themselves with that you might come to grind, because it's normally done by healthy people as well. Tana de Menashe. We have a braita from the house of Menashe. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, Medicha isha yada achat b'mayim, v'notna pat letinok. Literally means a lady can wash one of her hands with water on Kippur and give bread to her child, to feed her child, ve'ena choseshet. And she does not have to be worried about the issud of washing on Kippur. Now, what is this reference to? So that she says, midicha et yada lefi shiruach ra'a shurach al lechem anilkach biyadayim shelo natnan shachrit v'shem ashed shivta. So that she says that when a person wakes up in the morning, in Shachrit, there's a certain tum'ah on his hands. And the name of this tum'ah is called Shivta. And the by touching food without washing hands, it's going to put a tum'ah on the food. So the Gemara says, if you want to feed your child on Kippur, you could wash the hand that you're going to deal with the food, wash it to get rid of the Shivta, and feed the child. That's the way that she learned. It sounds like that she's just saying to feed a child in Tilat Yadayim for Shachrit would be okay. Tosfot doesn't accept that interpretation. Tosfot says, what do you mean? Only to feed a child? Everybody can make the Yadayim Shachrit. Because we just learned that only the chitza for ta'anug is forbidden. But the chitza that's not for ta'anug, for example, making the Yadayim Shachrit, that's not for pleasure, that's to get the tum'ah off. So that means that's not only permissible to feed a child with that Nitilat Yadayim, everybody's permissible. Also, what is this Gemara talking about? So Tosfot says that there's a special tum'ah that goes on the bread of children that are 4 or 5 years old, and it can abar minnan choke the child. And this comes from the Gilyon HaShas explains, when lady, let's say the mother of the house comes out of the bathroom or the bathhouse, there's a certain tum'ah on her hands that can damage the child. So therefore, everybody's making it la'idayim shahrit. But specifically before you feed a child, The Gemara is telling you, you can make the Tzad Yadayim on that hand in order that the child will not be subject to this special type of Tum'ah. Tosfot does point out that we're not careful on that today, meaning after we make the Tzad Yadayim Shacharit, we don't have to wash our hands again today to feed a child, because he says, because really these type of Tum'ot are not so prevalent in our times. So that's Machloket Rashi with Tosfot. Rashi again learned it's regular Tzad Yadayim Shacharit. Whereas according to the Tzafot, he's understanding that it is the special Netilat Yadayim that is done by the ladies before they feed a child, so the child does not get damaged from the certain Tum'ah that rests on her hands. Comes again and says, Amru alav al Shamay Azaken. They tell a story about Shamay, Shelo Ratza Lachilo Biyado Ahat. He did not want to feed the child even with one hand. So what did the rabbis do? V'gazru alav, the rabbis made a gezerah, Lachil b'shtei yadayim. That what? He should feed the child with two hands. Now, what is this referring to? How do we explain this story? Shammai didn't want to feed with one, so they made a gezerah that he can wash two, or feed with two. So some of the Rishonim explain like this. Shammai was concerned that if they're going to only allow him to wash one hand, and he's going to feed the child, he was worried that maybe that one hand is going to touch the other hand, or the bread is going to touch the other hand that was not washed, and now the bread is going to become, tameh, it's going to be dangerous for the child, so therefore he refrained from feeding the child. So the Hakamim told Shammai, you could wash both your hands. If you're worried about one hand touching the other and the bread becoming tameh, so they were lenient on him. Wash both your hands. Or some explain the opposite. Some say Shammai was mahmir on himself. He didn't even want to wash one. So the rabbis, in order to show Shammai that he was wrong, he says, we're telling you, so you don't follow your opinion, we're telling you specifically you have to wash both your hands in order that you don't follow your opinion. They went more strict that he should be lenient, actually, to wash both his hands. So the child will not starve on Kippur. My ta'ma, what's the reason why this washing of the hands at all? Because of the Tum'ah that's called Shivta. And already we explained the Machlok between Ashi and Tosfot exactly what this Tum'ah is. Taru Rabbanan, we have a Braita, Olek Lagbil Pene Aviv. If a person, let's say, is going to visit his father on Kippur, or Pene Rabbo, or his rabbi, or Pene Mishikadol Menu, or let's say somebody that's wiser than him in Torah, Over Ad Savaro Bamayim. And the only way to walk, let's say, he has to pass through a river. Now, he's going to wash himself. Obviously, he's walking through the river, because that's the only way to get to his rabbi or his father. He's going to be washing himself. It's mutar. He does not have to be concerned. Why? It's because this is not for pleasure. This over here is going to do a mitzvah. So since he's going to do a mitzvah, the hachamim were lenient. So comes the Gemara and says, Ibayelu, we have a question. Harav etzel tamid mai. Can the rabbi walk to the student? But let's say the rabbi wants to go teach the student Torah. For some reason, the student cannot walk to the rabbi. Is it permissible for the rabbi in Kippur to walk to the student through a river, even though he's now getting washed? So the Gemara says, Tashema de'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Chana. We have a story. He said, Hazitel Ze'iri. I saw Ze'iri de'azal le'gaber b'chaya bar asher tamideh. On Kippur, Ze'iri went through the water to visit his student. So you see, it's permissible. Rav Asher Amad, no. Ahu Rav Chaya bar Asher Udazil Legabed Zahidi Rabbeh was the opposite. It was Rav Chaya, the student that walked through the water to go see his rabbi Zahidi. So therefore you have no proof. So therefore it's really unresolved, this question. The Rishonim say we have to be Mahmir, that indeed the rabbi cannot go through the water to visit the student. Rabba Shara Libne Avar Yimina, Rabba permitted the people of Avar Yimina Limirabad Maya Linitude Peri, in order for them to walk through the water to get to their orchards in order to protect their fruit. It seems that had their fruit, there was a danger, they needed a shomer over there. The only way they can get there is walking through the water. So Abaye told Rabat, Tanya de Messiah, like we have a bright to support you, shomre perot, right? People that need to guard their produce, ovrin, ad, savaran, baman, they can walk up to their necks in water. The end, Choshashina, does not have to be concerned. Again, this is not pleasurable. This is all in order to be Shemir Perot. Rabbi Yosef Betarbu. Rabbi Yosef allowed the people of Betarbu, Lemeabad, Bemaya, to walk to the one, Lemetel Pirka, in order they can come hear the Torah lecture. Now, Lemezal, Lo Sharalehu, but he did not allow them to go back home. He allowed them to go, but once they got to the lecture, now the lecture was finished, they could not go back through the water back home. Again, all these kids are told where there was a river where the people have to walk through. So he allowed them to go to the lecture walking through the water, but not to come home. If so, the people are going to be, you're putting a stumbling block in the future, which means if they know they can't walk back home, they're not going to go to the lecture in the first place. Therefore, once you allow them to go, you have to allow them to come back through the water, otherwise they won't go in the first place. Ikadami, some have this story in a different way. That Rabbi Yosef indeed allowed the people to go and come back through the river. Yes, I understand that you allowed them to go because it's a mizmah. Why did you allow them to come back to the river? They're going home. The lecture is over. So we'll not come to a stumbling block in the future, meaning because if you don't allow them to come home, they won't go in the first place. Come to Gemara and continues. Rav Yehuda v'Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda avu kaimi aguda dinhar. Some have this Nahar Papa and some have Nahar Pirat, which means Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda. They were standing by the banks of Nahar Pirat, Euphrates, Amabra de Hazdar, by the Hazdar crossing. Vahava ke'e Rami bar Papa mehakisa. Rami bar Papa was on the other side of the river. Rama lehu kala. So he shouted to them, Ma'ule ma'ebad le metele gabaykul le mish'al shimata. Can I cross the river with Kippur? Can I cross the river? Because I have to ask you a question in the halakha. Amale Rav Yehuda, Rav Ushmael the Ami Tarvai, both Rav and Shmuel say, Over, you can go. Ubilvad shelo yotzi yado metach at chefet chaluko. But do not lift your hands from under your hem, which means you have to keep your hands under your cloak. What is the explanation of this? Why does he have to? He can cross, but make sure you don't take your hands from outside your cloak. We'll see in a moment. Ika de'amne. Some say, Amal Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Tanina, we actually have a braita, Over, he can pass through the water. Ubilvad shelo yotzi yado mitachat chefet chaluko. So long as he doesn't take his hand from under the hem of his cloak. So that she explains, because on Kippur you're not allowed to carry. And the concern was that he might lift his garment, or they wore like a long robe. He might lift his garment so it doesn't get wet or soiled, and let's say lift it up and carry it over his arm. He's still wearing it, but he's carrying part of the garment over his arm, and that would be considered carrying. Like we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that it's forbidden to carry one's garment on his shoulder, because that's not the normal way of wearing it. So the concern over here was, if he's going to lift up his cloak with his hands over his arm so it doesn't get soiled, it's going to be considered carrying. So they said, you have to keep your hands under the cloak so you won't come to lift it up and carry it. Other Rishonim explained that the concern over here was Sechita, that the concern was, well, he has to keep his hands under the cloak so he won't come to squeeze the cloak, and that would be Isud of squeezing, which is Isud on Shabbat as well as on Kippur. So comes the actually, we'll stop over here. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.